Hello, I'm Pastor Bronk Flint, and welcome once again to Discipleship Training Manual. And this is Lesson 3, and I just want to welcome you once again. And as we've welcomed you the last two lessons, this is Lesson 3, as I said, thanks for joining us, and thanks for being a part of the kingdom of God and coming into the family of God. One of the things that I've mentioned over the last couple of weeks, I say weeks, I'm doing this in segments as weeks, but you're listening to the lessons. But one of the things that I've continued to mention is that this is a family, and welcome to the family of God. You didn't join this, but I am so glad that you've become a part of the family of God, and maybe you're coming back. And I've mentioned that a couple of times. Maybe you're just coming back from a long road of being gone, and you're renewing your commitment to the Lord. Either way, thank you for coming back, and thank you for being a part of it. What we want to do is I'm talking about myself and people that are praying for you right now, is that we want to do everything we possibly can to help solidify a foundation in your life spiritually so that you'll grow in the weeks and months and years ahead. So I want to start this particular lesson. This is Lesson 3, and this lesson we're going to talk about three keys to spiritual growth, three keys to spiritual growth. Before we get into today's lesson, I want to talk about the last two lessons for just a moment and go over those and recap those just briefly. And what we're teaching you in these lessons, as I have said earlier to a group of people that are here, is that these are skeletal lessons. They're the framework, just like your body has a skeletal structure, and then you have all the appendages and you have the meat on your body. This is not meant to be an all-inclusive, extensive teaching. You're going to get extensive teachings as you follow Christ and as you walk with Him and as you go to church and as you have subject yourself to a good biblical pastor, someone that's really teaching the Word of God. That's you'll grow and get all of that meat in the days ahead. But today, let me cover a few things that we talked about over the last couple of lessons. One, we started out with what just happened to me, and I'm going to talk to you just like you're just really, this is all new to you. If you're somewhere advanced, wonderful. You're somewhere in between, that's wonderful. But what we talked about in the first lesson was what just happened to me, meaning if you were recently, some people will call it saved. We call it born again, a commitment to Christ. One of the things that we covered in that first lesson was a commitment to Christ that results in becoming a true believer in Christ. Many people will talk about that they believe in Christ or believe in God, but that doesn't make them a true believer. That doesn't make them a Christian. That doesn't really solidify a place of eternal security or a place that they know that they're going to be with Christ or in heaven after they passed from this life. What has to happen for that is more than just a belief in the existence of God. It has to be a true commitment to Christ. And we talked about the heart of the gospel. This was a scripture that we read to you. I'll read it again to you because it's so vitally important. It's John 3:16, and it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish." And then the next verse, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Well, there you have it right there. There's the heart of all the Bible, really, is that God, from the very beginning of creation, after the fall of man, God always desired to get his Son, which was Jesus Christ, into the earth, so that we would not perish but have everlasting life. And so we talked about why, after that, why did humanity need Christ? Well, we went into that extensively, and I won't cover that in this lesson again, but we needed Christ because man had fallen. And the first man of course, being created was Adam. And the Bible teaches us that as a result of Adam's sin, that sin passed upon all mankind. And so it wasn't even an elective, like it wasn't even your choice. You didn't come into the world and said, I choose to be a sinner. The Bible just says that as a result of one man's sin, sin passed, or death passed, it says, upon all men. So as a result of that, we were all born sinners. We were just born with a nature or a character. You can call it a character, an inward character that just was rebellious to God. And so every human being proved that out. It said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, if you looked at any man's life, you could see that sin reigned in humanity from a childhood. You don't teach little kids how to lie at 3 years old. There's something inside of them that says, if I can get by with this and tell a story or tell a lie, and for them it's more innocent than it is for adults. But it just proves that there is a sin character, or a sin, we call it a nature, but I want to use terms that you might understand, a sin character in humanity from the very beginning. So the Bible teaches us that death passed upon all men because of this one man's sin. Then we went over 10 different things in that first lesson that I felt like was really part and partisan to making up what the true gospel is. And if you believe those 10 different things, starting out with the virgin birth and different things, the sinless life of Christ and different things that Christ died, and then Christ was resurrected, and Christ ascended to the 10 different things. We won't go over all those. And again, that's not an all-inclusive list, but it was, if you believe those things and accept Christ and make a commitment to Him, the Bible tells us that we will be saved. Now, we led you in the first lesson in a prayer of repentance, or we call it a prayer of salvation. And if you miss that one, then you need to go back to the first lesson and hear the last part of that and pray that prayer with us. And I'm just believing that if you're listening to these lessons, you've already prayed that prayer and made that commitment to Christ. And you understand that in that first lesson, I was teaching that it's not just in the existence of Christ, but it's in the belief that Christ died for you personally. And as a result of your commitment to Him, you will be saved. Another big part of that is repentance. It's a repentance, and we gave scripture on that, that it's necessary that when you believe in Christ, that you're also repenting of your sins, and you're asking for forgiveness of all sins past, and believing that Christ's blood, which was shed for you, goes and completely washes all those sins of the past. And the Bible says that when we are forgiven, we are totally and completely forgiven, and that He casts those things basically into a place of forgetfulness, so that God never remembers those things that we did in our past. So it's very, very, very important to understand those things. In the lesson 2 that we covered last time that you watched, we covered what just happened to me, the second part of that, and we went over some terms. Well, I said from the very beginning that definition alone is not really vitally important for you to understand terms, but what those terms represent. And you're going to hear those terms a lot as you grow in Christ and as you come to church or you listen to lessons from myself or other biblical, good biblical teachers. And one of the things that we covered last week was, what is born again? What does born again mean? So oftentimes people that are in the church, they assume that people like yourself that just came into Christ understand certain terminology. But that's not just a made-up term that we use. It's not just church talk. It is really talk, or it is speech that comes from a living reality. And that living reality was presented by Jesus Christ Himself. And we gave these verses of Scripture. John 3:5 says, "And Jesus answered, Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And we said last week last time that we had this lesson is that Jesus was answering a question, and he was asking a question from a man about how can a human being be born the second time, because Jesus said to him, except you be born again, you'll not enter the kingdom of God. And so Jesus basically was putting it into a very street language understanding, saying, no, that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. In other words, your mom and dad gave you your first physical birth, and not only that, they also passed down the sin nature to you as a result of you being born of human parents. It's impossible for you to come into this world without the sin nature of Adam being passed on to you. So Jesus was saying that your mom and dad gave you that first birth, but only the Spirit of God, in which we know to be in name, to be the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit could give you your second birth or reborn you again. So that's what happens to you. And we went over that last week. What happened to me when it's not just a one-time experience. It's a life-changing experience because it happens on the inside of you, and it absolutely changes your life forever. Then we looked at a term that is very, very important and a definition to that term, and the term is new creation or new creature. Those things can sound kind of strange to a person who's never been in the church, especially. But that terminology comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17, and this is what Paul the Apostle wrote. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I could say it this way, if any man has had that born-again experience that I just described, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What Paul is describing there is, again, what Jesus was talking about, is that instantaneously, at the moment of salvation, when you make the prayer of commitment, pray the prayer of salvation, that the Holy Spirit comes in and he recreates your human spirit. We touched very lightly on the human spirit over those last two lessons. We will get more into that as time goes on. But the real you, the person that is the real you, beyond what I can actually see in your physical body, is a spiritual person. And that spiritual person is the part of you that when you leave this planet, when you die, that's the part of you that goes to heaven, or sad to say for many, that go to hell who have not received Christ. Well, that's the part of you that the Holy Ghost comes in, the Holy Spirit, same person. It's either Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. They mean the same thing. When the Holy Spirit comes into you at salvation, he totally recreates that human spirit and totally makes a new person out of you. As a result of that, one of the things that we said last week, which is very important for you to know, so you can, I want to use this terminology, you can lean into it, you can kind of give yourself over to it. What happens instantaneously is you begin to receive a new appetite. Just like you have an appetite for physical food, once you receive Christ, you have a new appetite. Well, this appetite comes with things that you want to do, and then it comes with things that you don't want to do. It's just like food you like to eat and food that you don't like to eat. Automatically, you find out within 24 hours that there's something strange, but it's a good strange about you. There's something that desires God. It desires and wants more of God. It desires, hey, if I can get more information about what just happened to me, I'd like to find out more, and I'd like to go in deeper. That's an appetite created by the Holy Spirit in that new person that was created. Also, there's an appetite of I don't like or I don't want to anymore. Your appetites change. And so I don't want to describe too much and put much of a perimeter around you right now. I want to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to develop you over the next several weeks and we'll get into more meat. But I did say last week, and or I say last week in these lessons, last time, that things that were we would call sin, because the Bible describes them as sin, moral issues, different things that are immoral. You'll find that if you were once able to commit those before in the past, and maybe your conscience allowed you to look at things, do things in excess, and you felt that that was totally okay. Now you've received Christ, and there's a new, a friend of mine calls him, the Holy Spirit, a new sheriff. It's like you've got this person on the inside of you now, because you've been recreated, and that new person is your born-again spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes in there, recreates, and now there's something on the inside. Even you don't even hear a voice. You don't. It's not necessarily a voice, but it is a voice. You understand, like, I want to do that because I believe that's right, and, oh, I don't want to do that anymore because I don't know. I've never heard a sermon on it, and I don't know any scripture on it, but that's probably not right. Follow that appetite. Follow that appetite. That appetite. The last thing we said in lesson two was, and this is important, that you stay cleansed. Stay cleansed. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm not talking about when I say stay cleansed, that you have to continue to be reborn again, on a continuous basis, but when you do sin or you do something on the inside that appetite that I was describing says, oh no, that's not right. I told a lie or I did something that I, you know, shouldn't do. I said some, you know, choice words or swear words or whatever. You don't have to walk around with the guilt of that. The scripture that I just read, 1 John 1:9, tells us that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if that happens to you at any given time during a day or multiple times during a day, you don't have to go back and say, Lord, come into my life, forgive me of all my sins. He's already done that. You just have to say, Lord, forgive me for what I just did, and keep going. Now let's talk about the three keys that will help you grow spiritually. And there are multiple keys, but I feel like these are very, very important for the rest of the time that we have in this lesson. One, what is vital in your life is the Word of God. And I'm holding up this black book, and it says the Word on it, but this is my Bible. And the Bible is so vitally, vitally important for your spiritual growth. It is absolute necessary for you to begin to grow in Christ. Excuse me. In the book of Mark, which I'm not going to read the scripture, and I don't even have it in my notes, but Jesus himself said that the kingdom of God, that born-again experience that I'm talking about, is like a seed that's planted inside of you. So the seed has been planted, and a perfect seed has been implanted. And I'm not going to go into all of the perfectness and how many different ways it is perfect. But I will say this, it is a seed and it needs to grow. And the way that it grows is you have to give it water and food. You have to fertilize it. Well, this is how you grow spiritually, the Word of God. It's so vitally, vitally important as a new believer that you begin to feed your spirit the Word of God. Don't just have this one-time experience and think, oh, okay, that's it. No, you've just started. You've just entered the door. You started down a wonderful path. Excuse me. I'm going to get a little drink of water here so I can get the frog out of my throat. The Word of God is absolutely so important. I'll read this scripture to you. Jesus said this, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what Jesus said, and there's multiple scriptures I could use, but Jesus said, we're not going to live this life successfully or go into God successfully except by every word of God. I want to teach you from the very beginning to love this word, adore this word, keep this word close to your life. Read it as often as you possibly can. Another scripture is in 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, that's you, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, if you want to grow, if you want to be a Christian that begins to grow, you get close to God, you're a benefit to others, you understand what God requires of your life, and then you begin to understand what you're here for. You have a purpose, you have a call. We're not going to talk about your call, but you have a call. In other words, you have a specific purpose, and it's not necessarily the job that you're doing right now, if you have a job, but there is a specific purpose, and it's called a call, but you want to grow into that. But the way that you grow into that is by the Word of God and taking heed. Someone might say, well, where do I start? Because a lot of you may not know where to start, and in all of the things that I'm listing tonight or today, these are just skeletal things. We're going to have an individual lesson on each one of the importance on each one of these things. But today in this lesson, I'm just kind of, best way to describe it, just skipping a stone across the water, just touching these things so you'll begin to familiarize yourself with some of the things that are coming in the future. Again, love this word. Take this word very seriously. It's so vitally important that you read it to grow by. Well, where do I start, Pastor? One, you start by getting a Bible, and you can go to bookstores, Walmart. You can order one on Amazon. There's a lot of different ways. I would highly recommend a King James Version. You can easily check that out. Or a New King James Version. Either one will do, but I would really rather that you start out in these versions of the Bible. There's other versions that are okay. In other words, they kind of put it in language that they think sometimes are helping people out, but sometimes they leave out parts. And I can't investigate all the different interpretations or versions, I should say, of what you might come up with and suggest. All I can do is verify and say, I can verify the King James or the New King James Version. Well, where do I start? Well, I'm just going to be real practical for a moment. For some of you that have never really ever been in the Bible, you just open up to the beginning, and there's a table of contents there, and you'll notice that on this page of contents, it says, at least in this Bible, and it almost every single Bible I've ever opened up, it says Old Testament, the Old Testament, and then there's a section that says the New Testament. So it's divided, the Old Testament is divided in all of the writings before Jesus Christ was born and came to this earth and had his ministry. The New Testament is all of the scripture writings and the teachings of Christ, which are the Gospels, and then all of the teachings by the apostles after the Lord Jesus Christ. There are 39 books in the Old, and there are 27 in the New, which make up 66 books total. Another thing that you can do that is easy to be done, and that is to, you know, if you don't want to read physical book, then you can also put one on your cell phone, iPad, smart device, whatever you have. One of the ones that I really, really like, and I will suggest this to you, is eSword. eSword is a good Bible app. You can get that at the Apple bookstore, you know, your Apple app, and it starts out at $3.99. I think there's three different versions. There's a $5.99 and a $10.99. It's like if you want to get into deep, deep study, don't worry about all the deep stuff right now. If you don't have a Bible, purchase one of these or find one If you're going to not get the eSword, I don't think it's available for Android phones. I know it is available for iPhones. So, Word of God. Start reading the Word of God. Where do I start? Well, let's see here. New Testament. Start in the New Testament. And I would highly suggest let's go to a gospel. You need to start in the gospel. Here, there are four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I like to tell people start in the book of John. Why? Because it begins to give them lessons on some of the same scriptures that we just read. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A man must be born again. You'll read some of those same scriptures and say, aha, I just heard Pastor Bronk read those. So go to the book of John. Here in my Bible, it's page 946. If I turn to page 946 over here in the New Testament, I get to the book of John and I start reading that. How much should I read? As much as you want and as much as you can. I would suggest two or three or four or five chapters a day. It's divided into chapters. So start reading the Word of God. We'll have more on that, how important the Word of God is in future lessons. But that is the first key to spiritual growth that I want to mention in this lesson. The second key that I want to mention in this lesson is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking with tongues. Now I'm going to read a couple of scriptures for you. This lesson today is going to be a little bit longer than the last couple of lessons because of what we have to cover, but not much longer. Acts 1:8, this is in the New Testament. The scripture says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This was what Jesus said to his disciples just before he left. And then as a result of them following his words and waiting for the promise of the Father, which that scripture we did not read, but that was part of it, in Acts 2:1 says, but when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, meaning all those who waited, actually there was 120, were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And as I said, we'll have future lessons just for that. And we'll also have a prayer of baptism, believing God for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me quickly say a few things about this. The same Spirit that birthed you, gave you born again. We talked about born again, new creature. The same Spirit, Jesus said there's a second work of grace. Now, the second work of grace, I'm going to say it this way. Jesus didn't say there's a second work of grace. I'm going to describe it this way. There's a second work that the Holy Spirit wants to do. The first one secured your position of salvation in heaven. It made you a new creation. The second one is what Jesus describes an endowment of power. The Holy Spirit, he said, when he comes on you, he's going to endue you with power and you'll be witnesses. So the primary reason why we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with power, become witnesses of Christ, for Christ, in all the world. We say it like this. We want you to come to a place where you, if you have not already, receive this second experience. This is not an experience that you have to go to heaven. It's just more of the same, in a sense of the word a baptism. The word baptism means an immersion. It means to be completely immersed. Well, when this happens, the word talks about, the scripture we just read was that they began to speak in tongues. So there's an evidence. There's an actual physical evidence. So, and we establish that because when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, as a result of that, either most generally right then, there's an actual physical evidence, and that actual physical evidence is other tongues, tongues for the believers. In other words, you'll hear in Bible studies glossolalia, or the Holy Spirit coming and filling a person's life and their spirit, so that they're able to speak a language that they don't previously know. We'll talk more about that, but there's an evidence to verify that that's happened to your life, and that comes with other tongues. The third thing I want to talk about in this lesson before we close, that is really, really vital, is going to church. Going to church is vital. It's vital. And when I say go to church, I'm not just talking about a physical location. I'm talking about going to a place, whether that is you can drive in with your car and walk in a door, or you can tune in to a place on a weekly basis and hopefully at least two or three times a week, and you can go to church. Spiritual growth takes place by hearing the lessons from your pastor. So it is, you know, what we're teaching you in these short lessons is just kind of saying, oh, I didn't know that. Maybe I did know that. That improves my understanding. But the meat of your growth is going to take place as you individually do what I suggested, highly suggested, and said is necessary. Read this word, then we're going to help you get baptized in the Holy Spirit if you're not already baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then the other thing, too, is it's vital. It is really vital. Much of your growth will take place as you subject yourself to a good biblical pastor, someone that is teaching on a continual basis the soundness of the Word of God. Let me give you a couple scriptures on that. Acts 2:46 says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So that's telling you this, that when the church was conceived, it was vitally important for the church members. They understood that they needed to be together and hear the word on a continual basis. Then in Ephesians 4:11-12 says this, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. That's what I am, a pastor/teacher, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that's kind of what we wanted to go over in this lesson. And again, the importance, go to church. What does that mean? Well, if you're close enough, Pastor, can you tell me? I can tell you, I can't tell you really outside of this church in this area. Now, if you lived in the Dayton area or the Tulsa area, I could give you some great recommendations. But you can tune in every week and you can grow every week, and we can put meat on your skeletal structure by staying with us. God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you next time. Amen.